Maybe I'll just read this translation. This is a song composed by Nathan Das Thakur. He prays to Lord Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Because who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds?" Actually, this is a fact. Not only Nautam Das Thakur, but Rupa Goswami also prays to Lord Chaitanya in this way. At the time of the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami at Prayag, Allahabad, Sri Rupa Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the most munificent of all incarnations because you are distributing love of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. When Krishna was personally present, he simply asked us to surrender, but he did not distribute himself so easily. He made conditions. First of all, you surrender. But this incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, although Krishna himself, makes no such condition. He simply distributes, take love of Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is approved as the most magnificent incarnation. Nautam Das Thakur says, please be merciful to me. You are so magnanimous because you have seen the fallen souls of this age and you are very much compassionate to them. But you should also know that I am the most fallen. No one is more greatly fallen than me. Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. Your incarnation is just to reclaim the conditioned fallen souls. But I assure you that you will not find a greater fallen soul than me. Therefore, my claim is first." Then he prays to Lord Nityananda. He says, "Ha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss. Since you are always appear very happy, I have come to you because I am most unhappy. If you kindly put your glance over me, I may also become happy." Then he prays to Advaita Prabhu, "Doya kola Sita Pati Advaita Gosai." Advaita Prabhu's wife's name was Sita, therefore he sometimes is addressed as Sita Pati. Thus Nautam Das Thakur prays, "My dear Advaita Prabhu, husband of Sita, you are so kind, please be kind to me. If you are kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me." Actually, Advaita Prabhu invited Lord Chaitanya to come down. When Advaita Prabhu saw that the fallen souls were all engaged simply in sense gratificatory processes, not understanding Krishna consciousness, he felt very much compassionate toward the fallen souls, and he also felt himself incapable of claiming them all. He therefore prayed to Lord Krishna, "Please come yourself. Without your personal presence, it is not possible to deliver these fallen souls." Thus, by his invitation, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Naturally, Nautam Das Thakur prays to Advaita Prabhu, "If you will be kind to me, naturally Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda will also be kind to me." Then he prays to the Goswamis, "Sahasvarup Sanatanam Rupa Raghunath." Sarup refers to Sarup Damodar, the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. He was always with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and immediately arranged for whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted. Two personal attendants, Sarup Damodar and Govinda, were also constantly with Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Nautam Das Thakur also prays to Sarup Damodar and then to the six Goswamis and next disciples of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Bhatta Raghunath Goswami, Sri Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. These six Goswamis were directly instructed by Lord Chaitanya to spread this Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness. Nautam Das Thakur also prays for their mercy. After the six Goswamis, the next Acharya was Srinivasacharya. Naturally, Nautam Das Thakur was in the disciplic succession after Srinivasacharya and was almost his contemporary. And Nautam Das's personal friend was Ramachandra Chakravarti. Therefore, he prays, "I always desire the company of Ramananda." He desires a devotee's company. The whole process is that we should always pray for the mercy of the superior acharyas and keep the company with pure devotees. Then it will be easier for us to advance in Krishna consciousness and receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. This is the sum and substance of this song, sung by Nautam Das Thakur. Srila Nautam Das Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So now we will move on to, we shall now further glorify Srila Nautam Das Thakur. Has anyone been to the Samadhi of Srila Nautam Das Thakur? In Vrindavan, I'm sure some of you must have been. Yeah. It's in the courtyard of which temple? I just can't remember, as you will see here. Yes, it's in the courtyard of Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda temple in Vrindavan. So if you go to Vrindavan, you can visit the deities of Radha Gokulanda. And also, there is the Samadhi of Lokanath Swami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, Narottam Das Thakur as well. So I'll read something about Sri Narottam Das Thakur. This Pushpa Samadhi of Narottam Das contains a garland, cloth, kopin, and japa beads used by him. His guru was Lokanath Goswami. He became famous as a great preacher and singer of kirtans and bhajans. Even today, his songs are most popular among the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada loved to sing the beautiful songs of Narottam Das Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on tour of Bengal, he visited Ramakeli to see Rupa and Sanatan. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the river Padma, and on the opposite bank, he could see the village of Katuri, now in Bangladesh, right? On gazing into the water, the Lord suddenly began to call out, "O Narottam, O Narottam!" In the most ecstatic of moods, Lord Chaitanya then told his devotees, "Very soon a great personality will be born in that village of Katuri. His name will be Narottam, and he will be absorbed in my kirtan ras and all of my love." The Lord then informed the devotees that he would bathe in the river Padma, and when Narottam Das came to bathe there, the water would extend to him the Lord's divine love. In 1534, the year of Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Narottam Das took birth at Katuri. His father was a great king, even though by caste they were Kshatriya, Kshatas, Sudra. Narottam became a brilliant student and loved to hear the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. One day after Narottam became a teenager, Lord Nityananda appeared to him in a dream and told him, "Tomorrow morning you should take your bath in the river Padma. At that time you will receive pure love of God." On waking, Narottam went immediately to the Padma River, and on entering the waters experienced a spiritual transformation. As Narottam went into deep ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya suddenly appeared before Narottam and embraced him. Narottam felt the spirit of the Lord enter his heart. At that moment, Narottam's dark complexion turned to molten gold, the same color as Lord Chaitanya's body. On coming out of the water, Narottam started to dance in ecstasy up and down on the bank of the river. After some hours, Narottam's parents came looking for him. And when they saw the golden complexioned youth dancing in ecstasy, they could not at first recognize him as their own son. On bringing him back home, they realized he was a changed person, continually chanting the holy names of the Lord both day and night. Maybe your parents had the same experience when you first took to Krishna consciousness. He may have gone home very fanatically chanting Hare Krishna and telling them how they should surrender to Krishna and become vegetarians and so on and so forth. The devotee who made me a devotee, he went back to his house and he took all the meat out of his mother's fridge and threw it outside of me. garden. His mother was very angry with him. This is the change. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's it changes one's consciousness, one's deliberations change. You become a different person. Here, now, Tamdas Thakur is an example of that. But he had a most extraordinary experience. After some months, Narottam had another dream that Lord Chaitanya appeared and again embraced him. This time, the Lord told Narottam to proceed immediately to Vrindavan and take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. Soon after this dream, Narottam Das Thakur ran away from home and went to Vrindavan, much to the despair of his parents. On arriving before the Govindaji deity in Vrindavan, Narottam fainted and fell on the ground. At that time, he manifested 8 different symptoms of ecstasy. On hearing about this, Jiva Goswami immediately came there to meet Narottam, who the devotees of Vrindavan had been waiting for since the prediction of Narottam's appearance by Lord Chaitanya. In Vrindavan, Narottam stayed under the care of Lokanath Goswami, and for over 1 year performed menial service in the hope of receiving initiation. Out of humility, Lokanath Goswami did not feel qualified to accept disciples. But in a dream, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Lokanath and reminded him of his order to accept Narottam as a disciple. Lokanath Goswami then immediately gave initiation to Narottam and asked him to study bhakti shastras under the guidance of Jiva Goswami. After some time, Jiva Goswami ordered Narottam, Srinivas and Shamananda to go and preach in Bengal and Orissa. Narottam returned to his native village, Katuri, and organized the first ever Gaurapaneem festival, celebrating the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the followers of Lord Chaitanya from Bengal and Orissa attended this huge celebration, including the most senior Vaishnavas at the time, Janava Mata, the consort of Lord Nityananda, and her son, Virabhadra. At the festival, Narottam installed 5 sets of deities and Srinivasacharya presided over the Abhishek. One of these deities, Brajamohan, is now being worshipped in Vrindavan. Narottam preached extensively all over Bengal, Manipur and Assam with the help of his innumerable disciples. His most prominent disciple was Ganganarayan Chakravarti, and his very close companion was Ramachandra Kaviraj, both of whom expertly assisted Narottam in his preaching. Narottam Das Thakur was an incarnation of Vilas Manjari, one of Srimati Radharani's intimate maidservants in the spiritual world. Sri Narottam Das Thakur ki. So, actually, Narottam Das Thakur was not so far, if you consider our disciplic succession. Let's go through the disciplic succession. There's Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Gokushor Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, then Narottam Das Thakur, isn't it? So not so many generations ago. So this is very important for the devotees to take shelter of our disciplic succession, our pure representatives, and in that way they can also experience Krishna consciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami, as we'd heard there, he inspired Narottam Das Thakur to preach, and Narottam was a disciple of Lokanath Goswami. I'm reading a few other notes here. He was famous for his poetic composition known as Prarthana, and the kind of prayers which we were hearing about today, like, when will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me so that I will forget my material desires? Now, Let's consider that prayer. Do we pray to Krishna like that? Do we want Krishna to... This is, if you want to receive Krishna consciousness, that's how you have to pray. You have to pray to Krishna that I want to give up my material desires. How do you give up material desires? The fact is that this material body is built or given to us because we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. Therefore, this material body and our mind are full of material desires, isn't it? Accompanying our mind is lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, and illusion. Now, when we say madness and illusion, actually everyone in the material world is mad, and they're illusioned. So we should consider these things ourselves. We are mad and illusioned when we're identifying with this material body, because the madness will be there. I want to become an enjoyer. And the madness is that I can succeed in being an enjoyer of this material world. It is an illusion. So this madness and illusion, it is accompanying us along with the other enemies. So in order to become free from this material desires, there's only one process. You have to become liberated from your material body. And the only way you can become liberated from your material body is following in the footsteps of the acharyas, serving the acharyas. And then, after serving the acharyas, one will gain affinity for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Srimvatam svakata Krishna punya savanam kirtana ridyad tosu bhadvani vanudasi suritsitam. Krishna, who is the super soul in the heart, he cleanses the desire of the devotees who are honest. Those devotees, no duplicity should be there. We must dedicate ourselves free from duplicity and have that one desire. The desire is, I want to forget my material desires. So when the devotee is thinking like that, constantly, mam chao babacharine bhakti yogena sevati sagunan samatitan bhavabhuya, he comes to the platform of Brahman because he's forgot his material body. He's no longer interested in his material body. He has the body. The body tries to act, but he restrains. He immediately restrains because he's got control over his mind. So this is the whole process of Krishna consciousness, to engage in sadhana. And not only sadhana, but also to render these very deep prayers. If you render these very deep prayers to the Lord with meaningful, then Krishna will help us. We have no chance of becoming liberated from this material world with such a body as we have. We have no chance. Not by our own strength can we ever enter into the spiritual realm, because what's that verse? Bhagavad Gita, Devahish Gunway Mammaya Dratya, Mama Yavi Pajante, Mayami Titalam. These three modes of nature, very difficult to overcome, impossible. You can experience that yourself. The modes of nature pushing and acting in various ways. Isn't it? Do you think? Is it true? How can your body and mind are there, is trying to act in various ways? So you have to forget the body. And Krishna Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada says, the devotee is very expert in ignoring his mind. He doesn't take it seriously. Therefore, that song by Bilva Mangal Thakur, whenever he thinks of sex life, he immediately spits at the thought. You have to come to this platform. But note, that because we got this body, it's not that it won't try. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, as the rivers flow into the ocean remains very still. But because of, in the same way, the Krishna conscious devotees, because of his fullness in Krishna consciousness, then he doesn't take his material desires very seriously, he just lets them pass. And in the Bhagavatam, it says they practically become destroyed to nil, practically to nil. You can only do this if you... how can you do this? You can only do this if you change your way of thinking, feeling, and willing. You have to change your way. And you have to become, initially, one has to become absorbed in the mission of the spiritual master. You have to become absorbed in his orders. He has many orders to give. He tells you to chant Hare Krishna. He tells you to follow the principles. He tells you to study the Bhagavatam. In fact, Srila Prabhupada has spent his whole life translating the literatures to enabling us to study the Bhagavatam. If he had not done so, how would we have access to it? So this is what has to be done. Now, there's another verse, Shushu Saladana Sha, Vasu Deva Kataruji, Swayamahatseva Vipra, Punya Tirtana Seva. If you serve the desires of the devotee who is completely free from all vice, if you render seva to such a devotee. Now, rendering service means you can hear from him. It doesn't mean you have to do, you can do menial services and. But most important service is hearing from a devotee or studying Prabhupada's books. Very important service. When we speak about devotional service, some people think, oh, devotional, we have to do so many things. We have to do this, and be very busy all day long. That's all right. But in what mood are you doing all the things you're doing? The mood must be there, and otherwise Krishna will not accept. Krishna does not need our service, in one sense. He just needs our bhakti. He wants our bhakti. He wants to exchange love with us. This is what Krishna, he desires that. So this is what Krishna is looking for, bhakti. Now bhakti will not come about by working. Although you could say yes, because, why? Because Shushushu Saradana Shah Vasudeva Gata, if you serve such a devotee, the result is that you will gain affinity for hearing and chanting about Krishna. If you hear and chant about Krishna and the qualities, names, pastimes, and so on and so forth, then your mind becomes absorbed in that topic. It becomes a fact for you, it becomes a reality. And then you forget all about the other false things of this material world. Because due to false ego, don't forget, we are under the control of the material energy. And false ego is one of the... Because due to false ego, we're thinking, oh, I am this body, I am enjoyer, I am controller. I have my mother, my father, my friends, my relatives, my wife, my family, my bank balance. I have all these things. This is what the false ego will condition you to think. Yeah. Oh, I'm British, I'm American, I'm Shudra, I'm Vaishya, I'm not very beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm this, I'm that. So many I am. This is exactly what the material energy is meant for, to bewilder the soul. The soul is placed into the material world. Originally there was the Mahatattva, the total sum of the material energy, and then Krishna puts in that Mahatattva, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. Then from there, the different senses, working senses, the knowledge-acquiring senses, the five sense objects, touch, smell, so on and so forth. Mind, intelligence, ego, this 24 elements is, and then the soul is impregnated into that, and immediately he is conditioned by that way. And we see so many legs, so many hands, so many. So this is what we're seeing in the material world, is the Mahatattva combined with the working senses, knowledge acquired. But do we see like that? Or are we saying, oh, there's Mr. Jones, there's Mrs. Jones, there's an American, there's an Indian. This is not Brahman vision. When one is in Brahman, he's situated in Brahman, he will see the truth. That this is just the spirit soul is contained within the body. His real identity is eternal servant Krishna, but he's thinking he's... Now, self-realized soul knows that all the time, never forgets it. But we may have a tendency to forget such things, even among ourselves and among others. Therefore, sometimes we think, oh, this is good, this is bad. But we think, oh, this is good, and this is bad. You sometimes criticize, oh, this is so bad. Then you see someone, oh, this is very good. This is, he did this and he did that, materially speaking. When you get involved in such considerations, one immediately enters into the modes of material nature. This is the words of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami. So if you're considering, oh, this is good, this is bad, these are all the considerations, materially speaking. It's all bad. Because sometimes you'll be going out and it's raining. Oh, it's bad, it's raining. And someone else will say, oh, no, it's good, it's raining, because I wanted the garden to be watered. So all these considerations, good, bad, all these are dualities. Then you come into the world of duality. So you must be in the world of non-duality. In Krishna consciousness, there's no duality. It is all Krishna. So whether it's good or bad, that is also an arrangement of Krishna. And there's no good or bad, but when you identify, just like when you have a dream at night, you may have a bad dream. But when you wake up, you no longer identify. So what was that badness? It's just an illusion. So similarly, in this material world, you might find yourself in a good or bad situation, but it's just a dream anyway. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what situation you're in. It's just simply a daydream. It won't last long. It's just a longer dream. At night time you dream, it's a short dream. During the day you're dreaming, but it's just a longer dream. But when you wake up, jiv jago, gola chanda bole, when you wake up to Krishna consciousness, you understand, oh well, so what if I don't have this and I don't have that, or this has happened to me and that's happened to me. So what? It's just a passing phase. Therefore, Krishna says, "Matra spasa sukuntiya." You have to tolerate this happiness and distress. It will go on. Even if you're a devotee of Krishna, you will still experience materially these happinesses and distresses in the material world. But the difference is that even though you're distressed materially, you'll be blissful transcendentally. Isn't it? I mean, look at Krishna, when he came 5,000 years ago, even his own mother, wasn't it, Devaki and Vasudeva, they were locked up by Kamsa. That was Krishna's mother. So even Krishna himself, you know, what would you do if your mother and father were locked up? It would cause you. And we know from the Shastra, so many difficulties were there for the Pandavas and for Queen Kunti. This is, in fact, Queen Kunti was praying like that. Because in times of difficulty, that's good. Because then you can take advantage and pray to Krishna. If you have all good things happening to you, you become intoxicated. You'll forget all about Krishna. You become very proud. Oh, I've got such a nice facility. And you will not see, you will not pay respects to one and all and think of them as the eternal servants of Krishna. But rather you'll think yourself superior because I'm in a better situation. This is what happens when you get good facility. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that prayer, when I see someone unhappy, I become very happy. Because I think, oh, to see he's suffering. I feel I'm not in that situation. I feel better. But when you see someone happy, then you become very unhappy. This is what happens when you try to be an enjoyer. So we have to become liberated. Liberated. We must become liberated from this material body. These are the kind of prayers that Narottam Das Thakur is praying for. Unless you become free from the desires to satisfy the body and senses, you cannot understand the abode of the Lord. Because why not? Because you're going to be absorbed in satisfying your own body and your own family and your own circumstances. You will not be able to absorb, we will not be able to absorb ourselves in Krishna's family. Krishna has his mother, Krishna has his father, Krishna has his boyfriends, his girlfriends. Some of the boyfriends are very intimately connected with him in friendship. Some are serving him. There's different moods of the gopas. Some of them, they are with him when he's engaging in his affairs with the gopis. They're there to assist him in that. So there's different sorts of kaha boys and different sorts of gopis, different camps of gopis. There's endless variety. And all these devotees of Krishna are exchanging love with him, and he's enjoying the rasa with them. So this is the goal of life. If we become absorbed in that topic, then we will become free from this topic, if you know what I mean. See, we have to become free from this topic of this body, this mind, my family, my this, my that. So that you can't do that by any other way than becoming absorbed in the other topic. So 24 hours a day, hearing and chanting about, because this is seva. When we speak of service, what is service? Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smavanam padasevanam dasyam, serving Krishna, praying to Krishna. These are all service. So we must become always absorbed in that service. You, in the temple, you're very fortunate because you always have the facility in the association of devotees. You have the deer. It makes it very easy for you. This is the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. That's why Narottam Das Thakur was saying in that previous prayer, always keep the company of devotees. When you live outside as Grihastha, very more difficult to do. You have to engage and so many activities, making money, dealing with this, dealing with that. But that's that's also not difficult. If you're trained in bhakti yoga, you can externally do all your duties, but internally, you can always think of the residents of Vrindavan. Yeah? It's true. This is actually, Srila Prabhupada said like that. One should externally do all his duties, but internally he should always be thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. In this way, one acquires a transcendental position. So this is what the teachings... You could say, oh, this is very esoterical. Well, no, this is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is very esoterical, ultimately. But this is a very internal thing that one should individually develop. In that development... That development has to be done in the association of devotees. Because you cannot understand the loving affairs of Radha Krishna or what's going on in the spiritual world unless you do it through the six Goswamis. Otherwise you can speculate. Oh, I've got this emotion, I have that emotion, I feel some sentiment towards... But no, it has to be done under the care and guidance of the Guru, Shastra and Sadhus. And the symptom of one who's actually experiencing love of Krishna, Nityananda, has... What is the symptom of one who's got the mercy of Nityananda? The symptom is that he has no more material desires. He's finished with his body. Unlike the Sahajas in Vrindavan and other places, even in our, maybe sometimes in our society, someone, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 and then talking, the next minute he wants to engage in some mundane activity. This is not Krishna consciousness. So this is a cheating process. You never acquire Krishna like that. Then I will speak on Krishna consciousness, and I will chant and dance, and then afterwards I will go and have some illicit connection with someone. That's not... You can cheat, you can fool yourself if you want. You can try to fool other people, but you'll never acquire Krishna consciousness in that way. So, all these, see, Narottam Das Thakur are very important. Like I was saying, we may not even get to read this verse, but he's very important because he is setting out in very easy terms how to understand Krishna consciousness process. So actually, Narottam Das Thakur also joined in the Panihati festival one time, and Lord Nityananda also attended that festival. And it is said that Narottam Das Thakur achieved the most elevated stage in the renounced order, along with Ramananda Roy. See, Ramananda Roy is a very advanced devotee. He had, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had discussions with him, and Mahaprabhu brought him to the high. He said, no, I don't accept that. No, I don't want this. Not Varnashram, not this, not that. Not going right up to talking about the loving affairs of the gopis and Srimati Radharani's mood. Then Mahaprabhu, this is Krishna consciousness. And such a devotee, he is capable of inundating the three worlds with the nectar of Krishna consciousness, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they are full of transcendental ecstasy, pure Vaishnavas, and they can distribute and inundate the world. But someone might say, I don't know, I'm not feeling such things. You know, sometimes I heard one devotee say, some criticism was there of one great acharya in our line, and this was, well, I don't see any ecstatic prema coming from him. Like that. But you will not see ecstatic prema coming from a devotee if you're positioned in material consciousness. You can only see that if you're positioned in the right consciousness. And if you're humble and submissive, that's why in this verse, Tadvani Panipatana Paripashana Seviya Upadekstanti Gyaganam Gyaninasta. Such a devotee who understands Krishna, if you render service to him and hear from him, then you will see his glory more and more. Sometimes, by the mercy of Krishna, you may see his glory initially, because Krishna reveals to you. That's the guru, isn't it? The guru comes. He is the external manifestation of Krishna. And he may come and show you. Krishna may show, this is you. By somehow or other, you become convinced. And then the more you serve that person, the more you'll understand the transcendental platform that that devotee is on. Because as we heard on Lord Nityananda's appearance day, the guru is actually said to be the confidential servant of Nityananda, and also the confidential servant of Srimati Radharani. Because Lord, as a representative of Nityananda, he trains us in devotional life, kicks out all the maya, and brings us the transcendental platform. When we're ready, then he hands us over to one of the associates of Srimati Radharani. So actually, Narottam Das Thakur, as we were reading before, he was not born in Brahmin family, actually, so-called. He was born in a lower family, but nevertheless, Brahmins took initiation and accepted him as their acharya. So that's very important. We know from our Shastra, it is not by birth one becomes guru, it is by quality. So, it is also revealed in his songs that anyone who acts on behalf of the Lord, preaching Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, or is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he is to be considered a nitya siddha, not a conditioned soul. Nitya siddha. Some people say, nitya siddha? He's not nitya siddha. But the guru is considered nitya siddha, not a conditioned soul. Because nitya siddha, he stays on the platform of Krishna consciousness and he works on that platform. That is interesting. This is the guru is considered like that, nitya siddha. Why? Because he is 24 hours a day hearing a jhana. Therefore, he must be considered nitya siddha. You cannot consider guru is not nitya siddha. This is what this Narottam Das Thakur is revealing. And also Narottam Das Thakur is teaching that one cannot be relieved from the clutches of Maya without serving and honoring the devotees. Sometimes the Lord can be very harsh, and he may even reject the devotee. But the devotee sometimes is even more kind. And this is an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, isn't it? Where sometimes Junior Haridas, he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the devotees, they were pleading with the Lord to. So it's like that. The devotee himself. So it's very good for us to keep company of devotees. If you keep company of a pure devotee and devotees of Krishna, then Krishna will always cast his merciful glance upon you. So we never even got on to this verse. Maybe we can do that tomorrow. Not me, but whoever's giving class. I have time, but don't you have to finish? Okay, well, quickly read it then. Dalton Das Thakur is so significant that I thought it was very interesting. We must read about him. Here is the verse today. We shall just quickly read it, and I shall read some points about it. Which verse are we on? 65. Jaya Jaya Sita Tanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Translation. Or shall I just read the text? Ishvarera avatara etina prakara amsa avatara ara guna avatara. I should just read myself. Shakshavesha avatara tritiya imata amsa avatara purusha makshadikayata. There are three categories of incarnation of Godhead: partial incarnations, qualitative incarnations, and empowered incarnations. The Purusha and Matsya are examples of partial incarnations. Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva are qualitative incarnations. Empowered incarnations are like those of the Kumaras. King Prithu and Mahamuni Vyas, the compiler of the Vedas. Text number 68. The personality of Godhead exhibits himself in two kinds of forms, Prakash and Vilas, purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord expands his personal forms in two primary categories. The Prakash forms are manifested by Lord Krishna for his pastimes, and their features are exactly like his. When Lord Krishna married 16,000 queens in Dwarka, he did so in 16,000 Prakash expansions. Similarly, during the Rasa dance, he expanded himself in identical Prakash forms to dance beside each and every gopi simultaneously. When the Lord manifested his Vilas expansions, however, they are all somewhat different in their bodily features. Lord Balaram is the first Vilas expansion of Lord Krishna, and the four-handed Narayan forms in Vaikuntha expand from Balaram. There is no difference between the bodily forms of Sri Krishna and Balaram, except that their bodily colors are different. Similarly, Sri Narayan in Vaikuntha has four hands, whereas Krishna only has two. The expansion of the Lord who manifests such bodily differences are known as Vilas Vigraha. So these are technical terms in terms of how the Lord is manifesting in various expansions. So it's mentioned here that the Lord, during the time when he married 16,108 wives, he built 16,108 palaces. And during that time, he was engaged in household affairs. And Narad Muni he wanted to come and see and witness how the Lord was engaged in such ways. So I'm going to read you from the 10th Canto commentaries. This is a translation by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj Thakur. So we can read this. Until, for 10 minutes, we can comment on it. The Lord bathed, when Narad Muni came, this is what was happening. So Narad Muni came before the Lord. The Lord was very pleased to see him. And the Lord bathed Narad's feet and then put water on his own head. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme spiritual authority of the universe and the master of his devotees, it was proper for him to behave in this way, for his name is Vanayadeva, the Lord who favors the Brahmanas. Thus Lord Krishna honored the sage Narad by bathing his feet, even though the water that bathes the Lord's own feet becomes the Ganges, the ultimate holy shrine. After fully worshipping the great sage of the demigods according to Vedic injunctions, Lord Krishna, who is himself the original sage, Narayan, the friend of Nara, conversed with Narad, and the Lord's measured speech was as sweet as nectar. Finally, the Lord asked Narad, "What may we do for you, our Lord and Master?" Sri Narad said, "O Almighty Lord, it is no surprise that you, the ruler of the world, show friendship to all people and yet subdue the envious. As we know well, you descend by your sweet will in order to bestow the highest good of this universe by maintaining and protecting. Thus your glories are widely sung. Now I have seen your feet, which grant liberation to your devotees, which even Lord Brahma and other great personalities of unfathomable intelligence can only meditate upon within their hearts, and which those who have fallen into the world of material existence resort to for deliverance. Please favor me so that I may constantly think of you as I travel about. Please grant me the power to remember you." This is significant. Now, after Narad Muni had been speaking to the Lord, he then went to another palace. Narad then entered the palace of another of the Lord's wives. "My dear king," he was eager to witness the spiritual potency possessed by the master of all masters of mystic power. Then he saw the Lord playing at dice with his beloved consort and his friend Uddhava. Lord Krishna worshipped Narad by standing up, offering him a seat and so on, and then, as if he did not know, asked him, "When did you arrive?" So Narad Muni was just in the previous palace, and now he goes into another palace, and he sees Krishna all over again. And Narad is a little bewildered. "What can needy persons like us do for those who are full in themselves? In any case, my dear Brahmin, please make my life auspicious." Then thus addressed, Narad was astonished. He simply stood up silently and went to another palace. This time, Naradaji saw that Lord Krishna was engaged in affectionate petting, as a father of his small children. From there, he entered another palace and he saw Lord Krishna preparing to take his bath. In one place, the Lord was offering oblations into the sacrificial fires, and in another, worshipping through the five Mahayagyas, in another, feeding Brahmins, and yet in another, eating the remnants of the food left by the Brahmins. Somewhere, Lord Krishna was observing the rituals for worship at sunset by refraining from speech and quietly chanting the Gayatri Mantra, and elsewhere he was moving about with sword and shield in the area set aside for sword practice. In one place, Lord Ganaraj was riding on horses, elephants, and chariots. In another place, he was resting on his bed while bards recited his glories. Somewhere he was consulting with royal ministers like Uddhava, and somewhere else he was enjoying in the water, surrounded by many society girls and other young women. Somewhere he was giving well-decorated cows to exalted Brahmins, and elsewhere he was listening to the auspicious narration of epic histories and Puranas. Somewhere Lord Krishna was found enjoying the company of a particular wife by exchanging joking words with her. Somewhere else he was found engaged along with his wife in religious ritualistic functions. Somewhere Krishna was found engaged in matters of economic development. And somewhere else he was found enjoying family life according to the regular principles of the Shastra. So this goes on. This is Narad Muni. And all these palaces, he was witnessing all these activities of Krishna. So this is an example of how Krishna was, you know, engaged in this prakash form. So, and then we have no time to speak on it, but the same thing happened in the Rasa Leela dance, where Krishna was, he was engaged in dancing in the center of the, you see the picture in Prabhupada's room? He was sitting, he was standing in the center with Srimati Radharani, but then very quickly he moved and he came in between the gopis, because the gopis became close after, as the Rasa Leela was going on, the gopis began to move further away from it. Then they joined each other by holding each other's shoulders. And Krishna came in between them all. And very quickly he was moving around, so fast that no one could understand what was going on. But there again he expanded into all these transcendental forms. And each of the gopis were thinking that he was dancing with them alone. Actually, do you know how many gopis there were in the Rasa Leela dance? How many gopis there were? Huh? Nine? No, that's not... Yeah, there's many, many devotees, actually. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Maharaj, there was millions of gopis. Millions. He gives the exact figure, which I won't be able to get to right now. But yeah, there was something like 13 million. Because in the spiritual realm, like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there were so many soldiers that if you took it materially speaking, you couldn't get so many people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But there were, in the spiritual realm, there's different dimensions. So like that. But there was millions of gopis in the Rasa Leela. Otherwise, if there was not enough space, how could you join the Rasa Leela? If there was just nine, because the Rasa Leela dance is going on eternally. Prabhupada says that this is the goal of the devotees, to go and join that dance. So there's ample room for all the souls to come and join. So any questions or comments on...